Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And we're talking with Art Thomas, the 40-day paid in full activation manual for healing. You've got to be able to get this. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out more details about it. So, we just talked about, two parts of the manual, and I want to talk about this next part, but also just want to reiterate that, healing is for the fullness of everything that the Word of God says we are, is who we are and what we do. And it's called being merely deceived. If we just learn and learn and learn. I remember when God called me out from where I was, like you were an associate somewhere, and I was ministering with my spiritual father. And it got to a point, if I heard one more message, I was like, I could really feel like I was choking on the words because I was so full of the Word. And the Lord was just telling me, you're going to have to give this out. You can't take in any more. You're going to have to start giving it out. And the more I gave it out, the better things got. Yeah. And can you imagine how the church just going with that's what we're believing for, just activating the body of Christ. With that, with that comes the next part of your manual where it talks about, you wrote about the process of times when there seems to be nothing happening, processing that. I love that, processing it. I love the way you think, and cause that's a big deal.
Yeah,
because a lot of people just shut down, stop, or whatever, versus one man told me, he says, I never lift my experience above what my faith in God and what God says.
Yeah.
Years ago you told me that. So talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we do need, processing is probably the best word I could come up with.
It's good.
Of what happens. Mm-hmm. Somebody's not healed, and we're trying to figure out what to do with that. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, down in the valley, this dad brings his son to the rest of the disciples and tells them about this tragic story of this demon that's been throwing his son into, fire and water, trying to kill him with seizures, right? And they gave it their best shot, and it didn't work. And, this is the only place in the Bible where we can find someone trying to minister healing in Jesus' name, and it didn't work. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John come off the mountain, and in one of the gospel accounts it says he found them arguing with the teachers of the law that were there.
Right.
So it's like, I think it was Jonathan who co-authored the book. I heard him say one time, anytime there's a lack of results, it results in arguments.
Wow.
We tend to try to placate our hurt emotions and the fact that we feel uncomfortable and that our expectations weren't met. Mm-hmm. And so we want to dodge responsibility. We want to feel more comfortable again. I've noticed that as Americans, we tend to highly value numbness. It's like the slightest bit of discomfort, you take a pill,
Yes.
It's like, unless I'm just numb to the world around me, I'm not happy or comfortable.
Right.
When, sometimes we need that discomfort. Sometimes it's actually good. I heard a story one time about a guy who didn't have a sense of touch and ended up burning his hand because he didn't realize it was burning.
Right.
It's like you have to be sensitized to things that are not right. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes.
So it's like there's someone you've been praying for, and the healing hasn't come, and it hasn't come, and it hasn't come. And it's the hope that you're expecting, the healing, is being put off and put off and put off until finally your heart's sick. And then that person dies, and you're like, man, I really blew it, or someone blew it. And we decide, our heart is hurting so bad, and our heart is sickened by that experience. We start to form a theology out of the hurt and the sickness rather than out of the life and ministry of Jesus. So that's where we have to actually process this. Okay, when Jesus came down off that mountain and the boy's dad came to Jesus and said, listen, I brought my boy to your disciples. They couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, bring the boy to me, right?
Right.
And then he did it.
Right.
So then not only that, the disciples asked Jesus later, why couldn't we do what you could do? And
right,
in Matthew 17, his answer is because you had so little faith.
Right.
And he said, if you had the faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and thrown in the sea, and it would be done. So the evidence of faith is the mountain moving.
Right.
You know, to say, you know, I had all the faith in the world and they weren't healed, honestly, it's not true.
Right.
You might have had all the belief in the world and all the expectancy in the world, but faith is trust.
Mm.
And so sometimes because we have so much belief and expectancy, we try in our effort even harder instead of trusting.
Right.
So sometimes your belief and expectancy can get in your way.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I like what you say, do less, trust more.
Yep. I think I said that last time I was here,
that
if you've tried this hard and it didn't work, try less and trust more, see what happens. Yeah.
That's powerful. I like too, you know, what you're talking about, and that everybody looks for these outs instead of just like, don't look for an out. But, you know, they say, well, you know, that Jesus said some comes out by prayer and fasting, but he didn't pray and fast.
Right.
You know, he lived an abiding lifestyle. His lifestyle was one that, you know, can you address that a little bit? Because a lot of people just go, well, you know, I'm not fasting. You know, if I was fasting, this would have happened. You know, like their lack of food would have actually moved the devil versus their faith in God.
Yeah, I think that was Mark's account of the same story. And when the disciples asked, why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. Number one, no matter how you interpret that verse, the responsibility was still placed on the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't blame the little boy. He didn't say he didn't have faith or anything like that. He didn't even blame the boy's dad. And so that's good news for parents who have kids with terminal illness or something like that.
Right.
Like, the responsibility is not on your shoulders. Your job is to care for your child.
Yeah.
Continue to love them, continue to pray for them, keep having other Christians pray for them, bring them to the body of Christ so we can minister together.
Yes.
But your responsibility is just to love them and care for them.
Yeah.
But then what he does is he puts the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the disciples. If the sick person had to be any part of the equation, then Jesus could not have walked in 100% results.
Right.
But he did.
Right.
So, you know, the prayer and fasting thing, Jesus... First of all, he didn't pray, he didn't say, hang on, guys, this is a tough demon. I'm going to go fast for 3 days. I'll be back. You know?
Right.
And he didn't say, Father, would you please take the demon out? He said, come out of this boy, you impure spirit.
Right.
And then if you look at when Jesus taught about prayer and fasting in Matthew 6, he teaches it in the context of intimacy.
Yes.
He says, you know, don't do these things out in public for everyone to see. Do it in secret so that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so I've learned, like, this was actually not a teaching on some demons have to be fasted out.
Right.
It was a teaching on you guys aren't walking in intimacy with God.
Right.
And if you were walking in that intimacy, your trust level would be higher, which means you would be in faith. So the two different gospel accounts are actually saying the same thing. We need to be walking in relational intimacy with God, which is the place where faith is born, because faith comes by
hearing
by the word of God. We've got to hear his voice. We've got to be in communion with him. That's where faith springs up from. Faith and love spring from hope, is in another passage.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that if we've got this hope in him, that he is the anchor for our souls, and we only find that out because we're entering boldly to the throne of grace, you know, there has to be this connection with Jesus on that level where faith happens, where trust happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind goes out by prayer and fasting. What it really means is the intimacy thing.
We always talk about abiding with the Lord is so important, because apart from abiding in him, we could do nothing.
Uh-huh.
We have a place that people can get a simple abiding plan. It's iabide.org. You see it on your screen. We have a simple plan for you so you can begin to do what Art is talking about, what Jesus wants us to do, is to hang out with him, be intimate with him in knowledge, and then things just happen, right?
Yeah, in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 19, you've got this story of the seven sons of Sceva who were out there trying to cast, and it says they were casting out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches.
Yes.
Until they finally met this one demon that said, Jesus I know, and Paul I've heard of, but who are you?
Right.
Jumped on them, beat them, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And what I've learned when you put that story with the other one, some demons are looking for intimacy. For a person who has a life of intimacy with Jesus.
This man's been with God.
Exactly.
They know.
And so they're not looking for a second hand in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Like, if you don't know Jesus, they're going to call you out on it.
Right.
Some demons are just going to go.
Right.
And we know that's true because Jesus said that on that day there would be those who say, Lord, Lord, I drove out demons in your name. I worked mighty miracles, prophesied in your name. Mm-hmm. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yes.
So you can get really far without intimacy.
Yes.
But there are some demons, this kind, goes out by prayer and fasting.
That's
that one demon recognized, oh, wait, these guys don't have intimacy with Jesus. I'm not falling for this.
Right.
So, yeah, the name of Jesus has power, but that's only going to get you so far. You have to know God.
I don't know if you know this or not, but they also Art produced a movie called Paid in Full. And a byproduct of that was this manual. As a matter of fact, take a look right now. You got to get this movie. Take a look.
I had cancer, and it was a glioblastoma multiforme tumor, which is stage 4 cancer.
I got the flu really bad, and I went to the hospital, and I was in kidney failure. Turns out I had a degenerative kidney disease.
I broke my pinky toe.
Loss of hearing, both ears.
Yeah.
More so my right ear, but my left ear not as much.
I sprained my MCL.
Hurt myself real bad.
And how is it hurting you?
But take heart, for I have overcome the world.
We just started praying, and the tumors just started disappearing.
And I went in for the ultrasound, and my kidneys had actually regrown the membrane within that 6 months, and the doctor came in and said, you're completely healed.
And the next day I got prayed for, and my pinky toe totally got healed.
Wow, that's what you know.
Everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, and he healed. He did not ignore the sick. It was a mission of his to see the sick healed.
You got to realize that it's based on Christ, and it's based on our obedience to what he says to do.
He never intended for his creation to walk in sickness and disease and weakness, and he wants to bring about restoration.
Speaking about Jesus, but without showing the power of Jesus, you are meaning nothing to people.
The price was paid for at Calvary. That's where the price is paid for. Our job is to work out how we get the realities of heaven to earth.
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be just like our daddy, to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
We know who God is. We know what Jesus can do. We just don't know what we can do. And it says we can do all things.
When Jesus taught in the synagogue, what version of the Bible was he using?
Historians say Jesus likely spoke in Aramaic, a Semitic language thousands of years old, a dominant language for Jewish worship and practical life in Judea.
But it's likely Jesus heard the Bible read in Hebrew, then when teaching in the synagogue, interpreting it in Aramaic using a targum, a paraphrase, that included the traditional Jewish interpretations of the scriptures.
One example scholars suggest from discoveries of manuscripts and inscriptions is in Luke 6:36. Jesus says, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful." reflecting the Aramaic paraphrasing or expanding of Leviticus 22:28. My people, as our Father is merciful in heaven, so shall you be merciful on earth.
Whatever the Bible Jesus may have used, engage with this book of all books in all its many languages.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that is because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Art Thomas about his book, 40 Days Paid in Full, Activation Manual, Healing Manual, kind of going through it and talking about it. Art, there's one thing I want to talk about before we go to the next thing. I love the way that you really live out the words of Paul when he says, I don't come to you with any enticing words. Yeah, but it's so important, right? Because some people are like, I don't have that kind of charismatic ability. I can't sing. I can't dance. And I like the way that you downplay your role to make sure that God is multiplied, you know, that he's glorified.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people, they, you know, respond to the charismatic person more so than to, it is not me. Then they start judging the charismatic person because they really thought it was the person versus it was God in the person that did that. So what was your, you know, what got you to that point? Because I know we come from the assemblies.
Yeah, we come from backgrounds where you know, you got to get downright Pentecostal before somebody can get healed, and there's got to be some jumping and shouting and shaking hands and maybe rubbing the hair off the person's forehead or something.
And that's exhausting. And, I mean, just face it. That's exhausting.
And the people just weren't getting healed.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know. Many people have heard my story of the first healing I had encountered, of God using me. And I think I even shared it on the last time I was on the program, but in summary, I basically healed the guy on accident.
Right.
It was like, I didn't believe I could do it. I wasn't expecting it to work. I was just, you know, trying to think of something goofy to do, and shoved my finger in this intern's ear and said, open. And his ear opened up.
Right.
And, like, I realized I did everything wrong, you know. I didn't say in Jesus' name like you're supposed to. I didn't feel the right feeling, think the right thought, say the right words. And I realized it wasn't about what I believe. It was about who I believe. If I just have this trust in Jesus, my job is to do my part. His job is to do his part.
Right.
I think sometimes I try to do some of his part.
Right.
And so I'm trying to push power up my arm, or I'm trying to, like, twist his arm enough to convince him and get him to move when he's like, no, I've already decided. If you'll just put your hand there, I'll take care of the rest, you know?
Right.
So the times when I see the most healings are the times when I try the least. And that has stuck with me. That was back in August 2009.
That's very important. That's very important, because our works he doesn't accept anyway. It gets in the way of what's going on.
Yep.
Well, I know the next thing you want to talk about in your book is, you know, overcoming the obstacles of healing ministry, things that we run into. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's all kinds of obstacles, roadblocks you hit, things that either try to get you to stop doing healing ministry, things that discourage you. In fact, discouragement is one of them.
Right.
You know, sometimes we've been trying and we're not seeing results. And to be perfectly honest, like, even me, seeing all these miracles all the time, like, I still face it, you know?
Right.
I just had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine who's also does a lot of this. In fact, he's in the movie, John Mark Baker. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, like, man, I just had a couple duds of meetings, you know. Right. I had a word of knowledge and called someone up in front of everybody and laid hands on them and nothing right. happened, you
right,
know.
Right.
And so it's easy to suddenly forget all the thousands of miracles that you've witnessed before right. and just feel down. And so you need to encourage one another. And so he and I had both had some duds of meetings, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People still got healed.
Right.
And that was the joke and what we kind of arrived at. Like, man, 6 years ago, if five miracles happened in one of my meetings, I'd be freaking out.
They write books about them and build churches around them. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now I'm like, man, I only had five miracles happen in that meeting of 20 people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's great that my mind's been renewed
right.
on one side and that
right.
that seems like a small potatoes thing, you know, but it's also not good that I'm forgetting to be thankful for even the small things.
Right.
So that's when the Lord corrected me, and it was through that encouragement, discouragement was dealt with. Other obstacles, doubts, fears, intimidation, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. I think a lot of us, we give a lot more credit to our thoughts than we actually should.
Right.
So what happens is we see somebody in a restaurant, they got their arm in a sling, and we have a thought come into our mind that says, I don't think that can happen. Mm-hmm. And we go, uh-oh, I just doubted. It's not going to happen. And what just happened is we put more faith in our thought than we put in action. And so, you know, faith without works is dead. So if you feel like you have no faith, do something.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I've learned, you know, temptation is not sin.
Right.
Right? The enemy can tempt you in your thoughts, right, mm-hmm. and put these little thoughts there. Your flesh can tempt you in your thoughts. But if you haven't done anything with that thought, it's just a temptation. Jesus was tempted, yet he was without sin. So that thought of this may not happen or this looks impossible, that's just a temptation to back down. You've only messed up if you actually back down and don't go for it.
Right, right.
You know, if we go for it in love, love never fails. And so if love never fails, I can try and I can, even if the person isn't healed, if I've loved, I haven't failed. If they are healed, but I didn't love, I did fail.
Wow.
We'll be right back. Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks and see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we call ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Speaking of healings, just this last weekend, a powerful healing took place, you know, at Bethel, where a soldier, for I believe he'll tell how many years it was, he could not even bend over to touch his toes. A missile had fallen, I guess probably when he's moving them around, not like hit you, but the weight of it, and crushed his back in some way where he had to have two metal plates in his back and he couldn't even bend over. But guess what? We serve a God that healed his back. As a matter of fact, even the plates disappeared. Our God can do anything. Take a look at this.
So have him share. Tell us what happened.
Oh, God is good, isn't he? So good. I'm still in awe. I gotta get my words together here. Excuse me, but I'll just tell it like it is. We came up from Portland just because we love Bethel. We try to come up every once in a while, and went into the healing rooms. And I've got a lot of injuries from being in the military, different wars and things like that. So especially after dealing with September 11th remembrance and everything, it's just great to come to Bethel to like get that out of my head and put something fresh in my head. You know what I'm saying? So I come up and we go into the healing rooms yesterday, and Benjamin started praying over me, and I noticed, I mean, first of all, let me say I had an 800-pound missile fall on me during one of the wars, and it crushed my lower back, and about 25 years ago this happened. So I've spent a lot of years in a lot of pain, and I've just dealt with it, you know. But anyway, nevertheless, we prayed over that, and I haven't been able to touch my toes in like forever, and I'm just like but I, you know what, that's not it though, that's not all. You know, I was thinking that that's some good food. I was willing to take that from God and say, oh, thank you, Lord, and leave with that. Well, we left yesterday and went and spent some time around Reading, and I noticed that I was feeling a whole lot better, no pain at all. Went back to the hotel, and my wife, that I'm blessed with, she started rubbing my back as she normally does in the evening with some Asper cream and things like that. Well, the place that they put in my back a couple of years ago, you could see them through the skin, and when you rub the back, you can see that there's plates there. Well, she was rubbing last night, and she just started screaming and crying, and I'm like, what are you screaming and crying about? She said, there's no plates. There's no plates in your back. There's no plates. Oh, man. Right? 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 Man. Jesus. 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 I'm telling you guys, he paid for it over 2,000 years ago. And I just somehow tapped into my bank account that's been sitting there. You know what I'm saying? But boy, I'm telling you, I haven't been able to reach back there and feel my spine in over 2 years. There's no plates in my back. You feel nothing but spine in my back. Amazing. God is good. I just want you to know, if you came here today, whatever you came here for, God is a God that overdoes it. You know, he makes it so our cup overflows. So I'm just letting you know today, whatever you came here for, prepare to be overflown with the love of God in your life. And always, nothing is impossible with our Father. Nothing is impossible. He is the Father and the God of possibilities. Amen? Amen.
So awesome. Isn't that awesome? Our God can do anything.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.